Accession number 31693, Reel 8.
Mr. Robson, Reel 8. Now, guard duty, you've come through your inspection.
You've gone through the inspection.
What did that entail?
The inspection?
No, well, I think we've touched...
We've gone through the inspection. Yes, you would do... Yes. What would happen is once the inspection was over, the battalion orderly officer and the battalion orderly sergeant used to march off to one side, and the guard would do a proper march off. Would give an eyes right, eyes front, would march down to the guard room, where it would be halted. The guard commander would actually go in, and there would be a list of instructions. Before anybody actually went into the guard room, he would read the duties of the guard, would fall out, go into the guard room, and then he would allocate, because there was the main sentry at the main gate, there was also a sentry at the ammunition compound, and if I believe rightly, there was also a wandering guard. He used to go, wander around the barracks, and he would actually be armed with a pick elf, right, a shank, a pick shaft, and he would actually wander around the barracks. The only people who would get that one, that duty, would be the senior, right? The first, obviously, you would take up your post. Before you went out, between each post, you used to do 2 hours on, 4 hours off. You were allowed to sleep during your 4 hours. However, before you went back on what we used to call on stag, which is on duty, whatever duty you were doing, you would have to make sure that your kit was clean, because you'd be inspected at any time by the battalion orderly officer. He could descend on that guard room any time.
That included through the night?
That included through the night. So when I say you could sleep, you would maybe get 2 hours, 3 hours max, because you had to make sure that your kit was clean, ready to go out on duty again, especially if you were on duty in the sentry box outside the guard room. If you got that job, when you went out, your duties would be read out to you by what they call the IC Reefs, who was a Lance Corporal. The guard commander, he would actually put down on his guard sheet where each person was stationed, what time you actually went on duty to do that duty, and also that you understood the orders that you were given, all on the guard sheet. The IC Reliefs, he would take out the main guard, he would march him out. You would take over from the previous guard, not like at Buckingham Palace, but a little bit similar, and then you would have your rifle as well on duty, although you didn't have any ammunition. The ammunition was kept in the guard room if it was required. The ammunition guard, the IC Reliefs, would march you around to the ammunition compound. You would have... You weren't issued with a radio in those days. However, you'll be issued with a whistle. So, if there was any problems, you had to blow your whistle, long blasts, until somebody came to your aid. And you would be locked in the compound, ammunition compound, until you were relieved.
A rifle, again, with you? You have your rifle with you?
No. No rifle. But you would have your pick-elf again.
And in between these moving arounds from, you know, one position, was this done at light infantry pace?
Oh, yes. You never ever march around the camp at less than 140 paces a minute. If you did, the only time that is if you were doing radio equipment, you were doing your job. But if you're going from point A to point B, if you're going from your barrack room to say the nappy at nappy break, because you get a half hour nappy break, you would march at 140 paces to the minute, always.
The guard on the main gate, were you instructed as to how to challenge people who were coming
yes.
in?
And yeah.
How did that go?
It would normally be halt. Obviously, if you recognise them, you would still challenge them, and you would also check the ID cards. Of anybody coming in, and then you would direct them to the guard room. Nobody could come into the barracks unless they went through the guard room first. At Heathfield Camp, we only had a barrier over the main gate. Other places we had proper gates, but it was only a barrier. And you just stood there until you were relieved. You had, if you needed to get hold of the guard commander, you had a bell in the sentry box to attract the attention of the guard commander. And the guard commander would come round, or the IC reliefs would come round and check the guard every so often. Obviously, I never got the what they call the patrol guard, because I was too junior. But God knows where they used to get to. It wouldn't have surprised me if they had a pint somewhere, because the older boys got that job, and that was right up until you were relieved the next morning at 6 o'clock.
24-hour, was it a
24-hour? No, it was a 12-hour guard.
12-hour, right.
Weekends, it was a 24-hour. But weekends, it was a 24-hour guard at weekend. We used to, so the Friday night guard was always a little bit later. If I remember rightly, it would be 9 o'clock. I'm sure it was 9 o'clock. So you would be 9 o'clock until the following morning, 9 o'clock on the Saturday night. And then on the Sunday, it would be 6, or Monday morning, it would be 6 o'clock. And also 9 o'clock, on the Saturday morning. But the rest of the time was always 6 o'clock, relieved by the regimental police.
Well, they took over.
They took over at 6 o'clock, and they would have the guard room right until the night guard took over.
Can you describe the guard room? I mean, this particular...
Yeah, it's as you go in there on the left hand, there was a window to the left as well. Because if you were booking out, you weren't allowed to go into the guard room. You had to go to a window. There was a big window, and the corporal or the lance corporal would be sat there. And there was. You had to go in and report to the desk, where the guard commander would actually have the booking out book. Nobody was allowed to go out unless they booked into the guard room first. And there was only one person at a time, and you had to stand to attention to the guard commander. You would present the ID card and your permanent pass. He would put you in there, number, not your full number, but the last three, 970 for me, and name, what company, and give you a number, what you would book out at. And you would repeat that number, and you would turn to your right and always say, thank you, Corporal, turn to your right and march out. At at the pace. Similarly, when you went in front of the company commander, you marched in at 140 paces to the minute. And also you would mark time in front of him and get the hold. And if you didn't get it right, you'd go back out and get and do it again. It's exactly the same when you were marching in or wanted to go out, and you would be dressed in your civilian clothes and you would be inspected.
So the rest of the guard room itself, what was in there?
So there was only, there was a desk for the guard commander, and there was another desk for the regiment and policeman, because there was a regiment and policeman on duty as well, up until 10 o'clock at night, when he'd go off duty. There was the provost sergeant's office. Then you would go into the cells, to the rear. I can't remember how many cells there were. There was one big one, which was where the guard actually slept. And then there were single cells. I think we had about six single cells. And depending if there was any occupants, they weren't allowed to go to sleep, and they would work on an evening. And they would keep the guard room clean, and also make a cup of tea for the guard commander, and try and scrounge your fag. If you smoked, and you were caught giving a cigarette to a prisoner, you would guarantee you would be joining him. It was that strict. And the prisoner was allowed to go, he wasn't allowed to lie on his bed, and all his equipment was all laid out on his bed, and he'd have to make sure that his equipment was clean, and especially his boots. He was allowed to go to bed after 10 o'clock, and a lot of prisoners would put their pyjamas on and take the stuff off the bed, lay it down on the floor, and sometimes not get into the bed.
Just lay on the top?
And lay on the top. The guard room, I must admit, was always very warm in there. And you always knew a prisoner, a guy who'd just been released from the guard room from being confined. Always knew. And if he was on guard that week when he came out, you could guarantee he'd get stick. Because nobody could beat his equipment. He was always, always top class.
The regiment of police, what kind of person might make up regiment of police? Provost sergeant.
The sergeant was always very smart, nearly always one of the hardest men in the battalion, and he would actually choose his own regiment of police. When I first joined, it was a lance corporal who promoted straight away. Who was in my draft, and he was on the regiment of police for all the time he was there. But the majority of them were normally, in later years, guys who'd always been in bother, and it was a way of keeping them out of bother.
I'm going to say it takes you under no one, presumably.
Yep. And I'd say in the later years, there's always people who'd been in bother. And it was a way of keeping them out of bother. It was funny, but it was true. And they were all those big lads who were capable of handling themselves.
I was going to ask you just, you know, how harsh did they? I mean, we've mentioned the very strict method in which prisoners were made to work, etc. How harsh were they allowed to teach the prisoners? Were they allowed to hit them or?
That was the one thing. I mean, in nowadays it would be classed as bullying, but That was army discipline. There were sometimes, if there was no, I mean, if they completed the work, they would be taken out on the square to march, and that was the only time they marched. A prisoner always, when he went out of the guard room, always doubled. Never ever did they march around unless they went, were taken up to the parade square to do drill. But from A to B, they doubled everywhere, with a regiment of policemen marching behind them at 140 paces of the minute. I mean, yeah. And he would let them get out so far, and he would double mark time. And when he was going for his meals, he'd have his knife and fork and spoon and his cup in one hand behind his back, and he would be doubling to the cookhouse, and he would eat in one part of the cookhouse, and then he would be doubled back, even though he'd just had his dinner, he would be doubled back to the guard room. He would be given an hour off as well, but again he'd get his cigarette. But if whoever it was said that's it, he had to be, the cigarette had to be nipped out and given back, so it was always given back, so there, no way could they keep them cigarettes and roll another one with toilet paper. You know, that's how desperate some of them were. As I say, they were one of the reasons when I saw that, I thought there's no way I'm going in there. And I always, even though I'd got in bother, you know, when you later on, I never ever became a guest of the provost sergeant.
What about work did they do? Did you know of any instances where they may finish work and then it was spoiled, so they had to start it again? You know.
The prisoners. Oh yes. Oh yeah, I've seen that done. I've seen my bed get thrown over, even as a trained soldier, even in the signals. If there was something wrong, I've gone back to my barracks and found my bed tipped over.
So that was, again, that was something that could happen. How did you get your meals if you were on guard?
You went down for early breakfast, early tea. So it was always, you had your meal before you went on guard duty. Saturday morning, you always had a late breakfast coming off guard. If you were doing a 24-hour guard, you actually had what they call an early meal. So you would go straight up, and you would go straight to the front of the queue. I'm on guard duty, you'll get your meal. So you would go off at 2 at a time. You would actually go to the cookhouse.
And the following day after you'd been on guard, was that an easy day for you, or did you still had your same duties to perform?
Still had your same duties to perform.
You get a bit sleep.
No. The only time you did is when you got promoted, you got the corporal. Because the corporal and the IC reliefs were nearly, they hardly got any sleep at all. As I found out when I became a guard commander in IC reliefs. Now, they used to be allowed the morning off, but you as coming off guard, if I remember rightly, you excused first parade. But when I say first parade, by the time you came off guard and you cleaned your rifle, handed it in and everything else, because there was nowhere, you couldn't actually go, the stores weren't open then, so coming off guard duty, you had to keep your weapon with you at all times. You would clean it and you would wait till the stores was open, so you were excused that little bit. So you didn't go back on parade until about 9 o'clock. They used to give you an hour's loo, in other words, before carrying out your normal duties.
So, and weapons were kept in the central store. You didn't have them in the barrack room.
No. There was kept in the each company had their own armoury, and you were allocated that rifle. So when I was at Honiton, the rifle I had, that was my rifle, which was zero to me. Otherwise, if I was given another rifle, if we were called out, it'd be pointless, because what's the use of firing a rifle which wasn't zero to you? Because you could miss by a yard, because everybody has different eyes.
But signalers, did you do the same number of guards as, say, the rifle companies?
No.
Just an occasional?
We just did an occasional guard. We didn't get the regular guard duties like the rifle companies. That's where the little perk came in for being signals. Because one of the other duties we did with the band and bugles, although the band, because the bugles used to do duty bugler, they would be on duty right through the night. They would actually be on parade with the guard. We had joint duties with the band of fire drills. So it'd be what they call a fire picket. That was the only time you weren't allowed to go out of barracks. If you were fire picket, although you paraded in your normal working dress, you used to do fire picket drills, i.e. running out the fire truck, which was a hand truck, and with the pump on, and the fire hoses. So you were actually the fireman of the, in case of fire, of the there would be about, if I remember, about four of you on duty, and the guy in charge would be the regimental policeman. But although you were allowed to go in the naffy, you weren't allowed to drink, just in case we had a fire, and you were on call during the night.
And you basically kept very busy, even in the battalion situation.
Oh yes, I think. I mean, I must admit, you never had any time to feel homesick, because you were on the go all the time. Even on a night time, you know, if you wanted to, and some of us used to, especially those newly trained, we would get our radio equipment out and actually just to keep, especially on Morse, and on Morse code, especially when you're sending it, we used to have a little training tapper, and it used to have a little battery on, and we would go in there, and you would have your headphones on, would attach to it, and we'd practice our Morse, just to keep our hand in.
Reporting sick if you were poorly, what was the drill for that?
I only ever reported sick once. Never ever again. Because what used to happen, if you were ill, you would have to pack all your equipment, all your bedding, in your what they call palias, which is a mattress cover, put all your civilian stuff in your suitcase, and you would have what they call a small pack, which would be your pyjamas, your plimsolls, your washing kit, a towel, pair of socks, clean, and then you would have to go and report to the company orderly corporal. He was called company orderly sergeant, but he was a corporal, lance corporal or corporal. You would go and report to him at the company office before 7 o'clock on a morning. Put your name in that you were ill. Then you would parade at 8 o'clock outside the medical office, and you would tell him, or go in front of the doctor, or you would see a corporal first, then the sergeant, the medical room sergeant, and then you would see a doctor.
And was there a, what shall I say, and all the treatment was a pill of some kind, you know, that covered most of
it? Always aspirins. Always two aspirins. Go back. In all my time in the army, it was later on when I was in Hong Kong. I was in hospital in Hong Kong. But prior to that, all the time I was at Heathfield Camp, I don't think I ever went sick once. Not once. I did it in Berlin, but that'll come on to that later. But not while I was there.
What about church parades? Were they a regular function?
Each company was allocated a church Sunday, and you would parade in best kit in front of the company office. And where everybody would be checked, and you would be marched off to the church. It was interdenomination, so it doesn't matter if you were a Catholic, agnostic, or anything.
It was a duty.
You had to go. It was only later when I turned round, because I was made to go to church. Again, this will come later. I refused to go into church because I disagreed with being made to go into church.
And you could do that, but I mean,
not when I first went in. It was only later then we'd start to relax, and I just refused point blank to go into church. But I couldn't get out of the parade. I had to parade.
The padre, what other tasks did he have? Did he appear in the barrack rooms and listen?
We didn't see a lot of him at Hayfield Camp. Not a lot of the padre at all. We did when we moved to Berlin, but not at Hayfield Camp. But I can remember having to parade. And we had no say in it whatsoever. Even ex-wartime soldiers, they had a parade as well. Nobody was excused.